Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
Hi, Shan. I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 30, people. Hey,
ooh, yeah.
Episode 30, that's cool.
It's over the hill. No, that's 40.
Yeah.
Our podcast is not yet over the hill, but cruising up to 30 is the new 20. Anyway,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our podcast basically in college, but like late college. Good metaphor. Cool.
Right,
hey, welcome to our new listeners, and thank you, as always, to our new supporters. Had a neat new supporter this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, a fellow singer-songwriter, a younger guy, who we met when he lived in Iowa, but now lives in the Colorado area.
Yeah.
And
the Colorado area,
yeah.
Otherwise known as the Western U.S.
Yeah. Otherwise known as Colorado. I don't want to be too specific, but he lives in the United States of America.
Amazing.
Yeah. So shout out to our friend Alec.
Awesome.
He's a neat guy. He's on the path. You know what I mean? Like, some people are just like making music and not really thinking about it and just trying to be famous or like write good songs, which is fine. Writing good songs is good. But if there's nothing more behind it at a certain point, it's kind of shallow. If there's nothing cohesive about it, there's nothing connecting like who you are as a human, you know? And he's really thinking intentionally about like what it means to be like a person on this earth with an artistic like leaning.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
That's neat. Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here, Alec.
Yeah, it's nifty. And I think he wanted to see what we're up to. So he got involved.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
That's very cool.
And hey, people, you too can get involved in that way if you want. This podcast is a public episode, meaning that everyone can listen all the way through to the end. And hey, not to do spoilers, but there's two new songs from our new record, Shannon's new record, that we're going to debut after the break.
That's right.
Sometimes after the break is just for paid subscribers, and sometimes it's for everyone, and this is the latter.
It's for everyone
It's
today.
Really, really Yay! Cool. Yes, we're going to share some new stuff with you, and that's neat.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. The public episodes are brought to you by our Misfit Stars supporting members, people like Alec and many others who have decided that they would like us to have $5 American of theirs per month so that we can do this podcast and the other sketchy schemes we're involved with in our lives. So thank you to those of you who are supporting members. If you're not yet one, maybe you would consider becoming one. Just go to misfitstars.com, click on that second big pink button. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that would be super cool.
It would be super cool.
If you did that.
I agree with you, Shannon.
The second big pink button says unlock all episodes. And basically what that means is when you become a member, a supporting member, not only do you get access to the future members' exclusive episodes, but all the ones previous to now, too, dating back to episode 2-1.
We actually started on episode 1, everybody.
Well, we did, but the first members exclusive was episode 2.
Oh, right. I see where you're going with that. Cool. And hey, people, if you love this podcast, do us a favor and head over to iTunes or whatever has replaced
it's
iTunes.
It's called Apple Podcasts now.
You just leave reviews in the app, right?
Yes.
Go over to Apple Podcasts, find Misfit Stars there, and leave us a glowing 5-star review.
That would be so great.
It would be good. It would help.
It does help. Thank you.
It does. And also, we get like a little report every week. And if someone does a new review, it lets me know.
Oh, does it?
And it's fun.
And it's fun.
Totally.
You could make our whole week if you do that. You could make a review.
I'm easy to please.
Yeah.
Easier to amuse.
So you mentioned this earlier, but in the second half of this episode, we're going to debut 2 more songs from our new record.
Yeah.
The record's coming out Friday. Oh my gosh.
Holy cow. Which is, by the way, when this podcast comes out, 2 days away.
Yes.
If you would like to have your own copy of the record to have around the house for posterity, you can go to Shannon's web store and order it, shannoncurtis.net/store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do 2 songs. One of which we actually, so we're calling this a debut. One of the songs we actually played on a live broadcast during our fundraiser period a couple months ago, but that was like a here and gone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to replay that one. And then another song that we're debuting for realsies in the second half of this episode is one that nobody has heard except for like
Chris Palmer.
Yeah, people in the studio.
Yep.
So that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Brand new. Awesome.
Cool. So hey, what did we get into this week?
Okay, the biggest thing that happened this week, besides us getting ready for tour and all that, which we'll get into, but the biggest thing in the ongoing saga that we've been talking about on this podcast for months now is that we won our court case in our neighborhood fight against the a-hole developers.
Woo-hoo! Screw you, a-hole developers.
Seriously. Woo. It was so much fun. And this is a tempered celebration.
Because that's right.
There is still a possibility that the developers could appeal. They could amend their lawsuit. There's other things that they could do to resurrect this
to
monster.
To put it in technical parlance, they might still try to pull some shenanigans.
Yes. Shenanigans is definitely a technical word.
Yeah.
But the judge, it was so exciting. The judge ruled in the neighborhood's favor on these motions for summary judgment, meaning like throwing out the case, saying like, no, you don't have a case. You can't go forward to a trial.
You can't even go to trial, a-hole developers. What you're trying to pull is that BS.
That's right.
I'm paraphrasing.
That's right.
That's basically what he said.
But it was so much fun because a bunch of us from the neighborhood showed up in court last Friday. It felt like there were more people there than had been in previous court days.
Yeah, it was cool. And there were some like new people and it was fun.
Yeah. And so we were all there. And there's like a swath of lawyers standing before the judge.
Yep.
Three lawyers for our side of things, and two for the other side. Mm-hmm. And they're all, the judge had already read the motion for summary judgment. Like, he'd gone through all the documents. So like, they didn't have to hash out all of the arguments there in the courtroom.
Right.
And he prefaced the whole proceeding with that. Like, look, I've read all of the stuff. I think I'm really familiar with the issues at hand here, but I'm going to give you all an opportunity to make your case here. Any additional comments you might want to make. And so everybody kind of got to have an opportunity, but each side, got to have an opportunity to sort of state their case.
And also to rebut the other side.
And also to...
He went through twice.
Exactly.
Went through the lineup twice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which is all super interesting.
Yep.
Like, I had no idea that court could be that interesting.
And I don't know if every judge does this, because like, this is my first time seeing this kind of thing, but like, he was really cool about really trying to step into the shoes of the person he was talking with and saying, okay, so if I understand your point clearly, here's what you're saying. And really, in an empathetic way, try to state it as honestly and intellectually rigorously as he could from their point of view.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And so, yeah, listening to all their arguments, I mean, again, just like the last time we were in court, it just seemed to me like the other side, like the lawyers for the other side were just bloviating.
Yeah.
And just
BSing.
Just BSing. It really underscored for me this idea that, I mean, in this is like a relatively small case in a small part of, this city in a small part of the world,
Yeah.
But it really underscored for me the idea that like people with the means to take stuff to court and with people who are in powerful positions just get away with a whole lot of BS if they don't get pushback.
And they don't come in having done any homework. It's not like they actually thought about this and really were like, no, we honestly believe we have a case on the merits. They're like, we have money and we're just going to go in and say whatever the heck, and the other side will eventually will bankrupt them or whatever.
I mean, they did do their homework. They were prepared for their arguments. They were just BS arguments. You know what I mean? And the whole bringing the case to begin with. Yeah, they didn't really have a case. I mean, the judge agreed. They don't have a case, right? That's the whole point. The case is thrown out.
Yeah.
But I don't think they cared that they didn't have a case, because they just assumed they could roll it.
Yep. Roll us.
They could roll us. Exactly. Yeah. And so it was so much fun. The lawyers did their arguments. Yeah.
Shout out to our backbenchers on our side. We definitely had some people from our neighborhood who were like sitting in the back bench and like kind of commenting under their breath.
Oh, I know. It's so great.
That was great.
It's wonderful.
I mean, it's kind of not great, but it's great. You know what I mean? Like, technically it's not great, but it's fun.
It's so fun.
Like hecklers. We had court hecklers from the neighborhood.
But very quiet hecklers, because it was court, you know? But, so we expected that the judge would hear the arguments. And then like last time when he issued a decision on summary judgment, he said, okay, well, I'm going to take some time to prepare my decision in writing and deliver it to you sometime in the next week. That's what we thought was going to happen here, because there were more issues at stake this time around. And we thought for sure he would be thorough in that way. I mean, he was thorough. But When the arguments were done being made, there was this moment in the courtroom where he starts sort of like summarizing some things.
Mm-hmm. He just started talking.
And then he starts sort of like laying out a position.
What feels like a rationale.
Yeah. And I, at one point I like touched your knee and I was like, and I looked at you, I'm like, I think this is happening.
Yeah.
And at a certain point then he said.
And you could hear like little...
Like
little gasps and like little people realizing that that's what was happening, sort of really quietly on their own.
It was so cool.
It was neat.
Yeah. And then he just shut down the case that right there and then, with all of us there in the courtroom. It felt great.
Yeah. Even greater because it was such a surprise and to be there to witness it in real time.
Totally.
It was as authoritative as it could be. Like, this, the judge is a measured guy. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, he's really, like, I don't know if he's the platonic ideal of what a judge should be, but he seems really great at doing his job. You know, yes. Like, he's just very earnest and he's very empathetic seeming, mm-hmm. and he really seems to want to get his arms around everything in as intellectually honest a way as he possibly can, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's also how he talks, in this very earnest, intellectually rigorous way.
Yeah.
And so with that as context and preamble, he was devastating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Within that container of, like, how he talks about stuff.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it was brutal. Like, I would be surprised. Like, I wouldn't be surprised on one hand if the developers appeal because they'll try every trick in the book. They will, and if it costs us more money, they'll do it probably.
Right.
But, like, there's absolutely no chance that any reasonable person would think they could prevail on appeal because it's not like he left any avenue open. It's not like he was like, if this were different or if this were different, you might have a chance. He was like, no, no, and no.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so decisive.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. So it was a huge day. It was so fun to celebrate with our neighbors once we all left the courtroom.
I just feel glad for them that they're experiencing some relief from this. You know what I mean? This has been a constant thing sitting on their backs, on their shoulders, mm-hmm. providing, like, tremendous financial pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
And
speaking of which, will you put link for the GoFundMe for the legal fees in the show description?
I will probably remember to do that. Yep.
Yes. Great. I'll send you a reminder.
Cool.
But
thanks.
if anyone listening can help out, you know, our neighbors who have been in this fight from the beginning, we should say that, you know, Jamie, you and me, we only joined up in this a couple of months ago because, first of all, it started while we were still gone last year.
Yeah.
The whole thing, we found out about this, the proposed development and the shenanigans the developers mm-hmm. were up to when we got back from tour, and by that point, there was the first group of neighbors who had, you know, who were engaged in this and who were eventually first sued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like from the beginning, this group of people has recognized that this is a fight worth fighting.
Yep.
And they have gone for it.
Yep.
You know, at personal expense. And so, you know, in making the decision to actually hire a lawyer to get legal representation, they've incurred a big legal bill. And so if anyone listening feels inclined to help relieve the legal bill that mm-hmm. That our neighbors have incurred, go to the GoFundMe link that Jamie will put in the show description.
Yep.
Also, if you live in the greater Tacoma area, we're going to be doing a fundraiser concert in July. We don't have details for it yet.
July 6th. Save the date.
We'll be sure to... we know the date. That's it. But we'll make sure to let you know about tickets and that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm just so proud of our neighborhood. I'm so proud of the people who, at the very beginning, decided this was worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, I'm even more proud to live in this neighborhood now that I've gotten to know the character of people who live here.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
So, in other news, we're getting ready for a tour.
Yes. That's pretty much all the only commentary we need for getting ready for tours.
We leave tomorrow, or by the time you're listening to this, today.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's just coming at us like a freaking freight train.
It really is.
It always does. It'll be fine. You know what I mean? We're good at this. It feels like there's a mountain of things we got to take care of. And there is. And we'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. We'll probably not sleep a lot tonight. And it's fine.
It's okay.
And like 3 days from now, 2 days from now, by the time you hear this, we will be playing our first show.
Wild.
In Roseville, California.
Oh my gosh.
And onward from there. Rest of the country.
Hey, speaking of shows, if you, anywhere in the country
mm-hmm.
that you're listening to this, anywhere in the country you're listening to this, if you want to come to a show, and there's one that's nearby you, mm-hmm. chances are pretty good that we can get you an invitation. So go to my website, shannoncurtis.net/tour,
mm-hmm.
and look at the tour schedule. You will find all the dates that we currently have confirmed on there. And there's a place where you can send Jamie an email and ask for an invitation. So most of our hosts are really open to that kind of thing, and we would love to see you.
Yeah, pretty much all of them. Every so often someone isn't, but mostly they are. So if you want to come to a show, it can pretty much happen. So just let us know.
We had massive packaging day this weekend.
Oh my gosh, we hired an intern.
We did. It was so great. It was so great. Packaging up fundraisers packages, thank you packages, always just takes an just way more time than you would think.
I mean, it's just hours and hours and hours and hours.
Ridiculous.
And we had close to 150 packages.
Yeah.
That's a lot of packages.
A lot of packages.
Every single one has a unique combination of a certain t-shirt in a certain size.
Yes.
And a CD and a book. Or maybe it's not a t-shirt, it's a tote bag. Or maybe it's just all different
stuff.
All
and
they'll
get the labels right with the right items and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we hired our friend's son to come over and help us out. He did a great job. He was very meticulous.
He's exactly the right person to hire for this kind of thing. Super studious, super earnest, super anal about stuff.
Yeah.
Places a high value in his life on getting things right.
It was really wonderful.
That was great.
And also because once you get sort of up to speed on the workflow, it's not really a brain intensive exercise packaging this stuff.
Yeah.
So basically he and I just got to chat a bunch. And so I got to have a, 3 hour long chat with a 15-year-old.
It's cool.
It was awesome.
With a cool 15-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super,
he's a deep thinker.
Super thoughtful kid and just really, it was a lot of fun.
That's great. And I missed out on that because I was busy composing the underscore for our show.
I know, which is coming together so great.
I think it's going to be a cool show.
Yes.
It's got a neat arc to it this year.
If you've not seen one of our live shows the last couple of years, what Jamie's talking about is that we've incorporated this thing we call immersive storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the stories that are told in between songs, like Jamie designs like a sound score, like a score, like a movie score for the stories. So it kind of puts you in a world where...
In a world.
And then some of those sound design things sort of seep into the song performances as well. And
sometimes some of the sound design comes from elements from the studio recordings, but recontextualized to go into the story that precedes it or follows it. I did a thing for this one where I pulled some of the sound design for one of the songs on the album to put in an earlier song. It's almost like foreshadowing. So if you know the album, for people who have heard the record by the time they see the show, there might be this tinge of familiarity.
Just
an emotional context.
Yeah.
It's a really subtle little trick. But for the people who subconsciously get it, I think it'll add something.
It's coming together great. And we started our first production rehearsal last night,
The first production rehearsal is just long. We go through the entire show front to back, and it takes us 4 hours the first time. Because we're doing each song, 2, 3, 7 times.
Depending on the song.
Working out the cues. I'm designing all of my treatments for Shannon's vocal. Maybe there's a reverb setting. Maybe there's an echo. Maybe there's both. Maybe they come in and out. I have to design that, save presets for every single thing.
Yep.
Keep running it until we feel okay about it. With the stuff that has transitional score/ sound design going into a song, we got to get the timing.
Yep.
It's just so much.
It is. But it's fun work. And you know what? To get to say this is the work we do.
Seriously.
I'm the luckiest gal on earth.
Yeah. I'm the luckiest gal on earth too. Gender is an artificial construct, people.
I love it. Yeah. You also finished Val's record this week and sent
it off
to her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, what a rewarding experience. So first of all, just to get to make this record with Val and to get to make a new friend in the process, she's wonderful.
Oh my gosh, so
just
wonderful.
Love her so much. Can't wait to meet her husband. She's just the sweetest person.
Mm-hmm.
And super smart and really fun to talk with. And it's just great. Definitely just one of our people. And it was really, really fun. And we went from, on this record, we went from blank tape to finished masters in 11 days of work.
It's so great.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Cool. That's fast.
You did excellent work. Can I high five you?
Can we
do it loud enough for radio?
Did you hear it, people? Yeah.
It sounds really good. Everyone who was involved should be so proud. It's great.
And I mean, just, it's rewarding too. I'm able now, we made some technical modifications, to the studio over this last year, over the wintertime before it was record making season. And they really paid off. With your record, with Val's record, I'm just really feeling I can work in a quicker and more reliable way.
Awesome.
It always used to be the kind of thing where it'd be you do it as well as you can in the studio, and you take it to the stereo, and there's a couple surprises, and you change it. And then you go listen to the car, and there's a couple more surprises, and you change it. And now, the surprises are kind of gone.
That's
it's
so great.
It's you put it on the stereo, it's yep, sounds good. Take it to the car, yep, sounds good.
Awesome.
And it's done. Yeah, it's really cool.
That's so good.
It's good because it means we can work efficiently with budget-conscious records and make a really great-sounding record in 11 days. I mean, a full-length record front to back. Really, awesome. Really neat.
More records for more people. Yay!
I know. It's good.
I love it.
That's the goal. More art.
That's right. Yeah,
but it was a fun process. Good songs brought to life in a way that I think is really engaging to listen to and will reward repeated listenings.
Totally. Yeah. And I think she really likes it too, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, in fact, I touched base with her on that just because it's, you know, we're coming up on when Shannon and I are leaving the house, which means that I have to sort of finalize the record and send mm-hmm. Val the files from a technical perspective that she needs to make CDs from. And you know, so I just checked in yesterday. I was like, hey, still liking your record? And she replies back in all caps, loving it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
With like five heart emojis.
I love it.
Great. That's the kind of comments as a producer that I like to hear.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. No work, more heart emojis. Good, good.
Yay.
Cool.
Right on. Well, should we take a little bit of a break and then come back and debut some songs?
Sounds like a great idea. So, okay, people are going to take a short break. And after the break, it's a public episode. So, hey, people, even if you're not subscribers, stay tuned because you we'll get to hear two new songs from Revolutionary Acts of Optimism.
Two new songs. Woo!
Two new songs. Two new songs. All right, back in a sec.
See you soon. Thank you for your patience with our shortened episode today.
Yeah.
Because we're just like in crazy town getting ready for tour.
It's really true.
We don't have time to get into a big topic today. But hopefully we're making it up for you by debuting two new songs for
you. That's the hope,
the goal.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the deal. We're busy as hell right now. And so we're doing what we can.
We are doing what we can. We're doing our very best. Yeah. I'm so excited. Next week, though, will be the first episode of the podcast that we're doing from the road.
Yeah, we'll probably do it like at your mom's house, huh?
Or I don't know.
Nobody knows. Literally nobody knows.
Who knows where we'll be doing that podcast from.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two more new songs to debut for you now, gentle listeners.
Gentle listeners.
So first one, Letter from the Future. Do you want to set it up?
Oh, sure.
You want to talk a little
bit? You're darn right. I wrote a song about climate change for this record.
My earnest wife, everybody.
It's called Letter from the Future. And I didn't expect to write a song about climate change.
I mean, who does?
I mean, who really does?
You know what they say.
You know what they say. But, you know, people, it's a really important thing for us to be focusing on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy for 1/10 of this record to be a message that involves thinking about that in a more serious way.
Yeah.
Like really, you know, it's some of the stuff that I've been reading just in the last couple of weeks, some alarming stuff. You know, there was an Australian
scientist, right?
An Australian government scientist group, mm-hmm. you know, put out their own version of their analysis of this most recent data, climate mm-hmm. data that has been making the rounds over the last couple of months. It's their interpretation of the data is super dire. Like I read this in a publication that's not a publication that's like, you know, you wouldn't red flag this publication for being like propagandist in nature.
It was like The Guardian or something, right?
I can't remember which publication it was, but it was a reputable, you know, not a like
altnews.net.
Yeah. And this Australian group's analysis of the data was suggesting that in 50 years time, that if we don't do anything about climate change, that 90% of the Earth's population might perish. I mean, like that's on the drastic side of things, but like that's a possibility if we don't get our act together. Like,
was it 50 years or 2050?
I thought it was 50 years, okay. But I, you know what? I'm sorry that I don't have my.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's not good.
It's not good. You know, like, and I, just even saying those words, I remember when I shared with you what I had read, like just saying this out loud sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
It sounds over the top. It sounds like it couldn't possibly be true, you know? And so I read again in the article, like, here's what it has to say. Like this is a serious problem.
It'll probably take the shape of like mass famine, right?
I mean, in some places, sure, there can be mass famine.
As a result, war.
Right. Already in the Midwest of our own country where farmers are supposed to be planting their crops, this year, a lot of the, like a huge swath of farmers aren't going to be able to plant at all this year because of the record flooding happening there. I mean, it's real consequences stuff. This is not, it's not something to be, to just be putting on the shelf and ignoring, you know?
This is our food supply.
This is, it's our food supply. It is our ways of life. It is our political stability. It is our, you know, it's everything.
Yep.
So we really need to be turning our attention to this. If you've been, if you've not been keeping up with this issue, I just recommend, you know, read some articles when they pop across your news feed or whatever, you know, like start paying attention if you haven't. And it's, and again, this record that we made is called Revolutionary Acts of Optimism. This is not a we're in deep trouble record. This is a record about optimism. And so the song that I wrote is in that same vein. And, you know, it was inspired by a radio report that I heard a number of months ago, where they were talking about climate change. And instead of it being like a, this is a very serious problem, dun, 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 kind of report. And they didn't ignore the real problems, but they, what they did is they interviewed several scientists, scientists slash entrepreneurs, experts in their field who were each working on some aspect of reducing fossil fuel emissions and converting to a more green economy to address climate change related issues. And they interviewed each of these people about the issue that they're working on, from, you know, like more equitable food supply or you know, food production to like, you know, a cleaner electric grid to, you know, like all sort of transportation related stuff, each, you know, each in their own field. And they asked them to describe what they were working on, but then also they asked them, put yourself, you know, 50 years in the future and just imagine for us if the things that you're working on come to fruition, what does the world look like? Right? So it was like really just looking into the future and imagining. And it was so interesting to hear each of these people talk. Because to a person, every single one of them through the radio, I could, you could hear that they were smiling. Like it was almost like you could like imagine that they had closed their eyes and they're just imagining their work coming to fruition, and that, and how
that.
It, and how it's actually going to make the world better.
When I'm recording with people, something I will frequently give them as an instruction, depending on, you know, what the song needs to do, is like smile when you sing this. Because sometimes people don't think to do that, or they don't, and they don't realize they're focusing hard, and they're kind of like, maybe they're like, they have serious face. You can hear it in someone's voice.
Sure.
And you can definitely hear smiles.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so to hear these people talk, you know, with that kind of energy about the future that is possible if we put our energy, our collective energy toward this problem, it was really inspiring because, you know, the issue of climate change is one of those that feels absolutely freaking overwhelming.
Sure.
Like it just feels like so much bigger than any of us. But hearing them talk, you know, it really underscored this idea that yes, if we all collectively put our energy towards solving these problems, this is what's possible.
Yeah.
And that's what this record's about. So the Letter from the Future is a song that is from the perspective of somebody who lives in the future.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So first of all, time travel. Cool.
It was written a letter back to those of us living now to say, hey, here's what my world is like because of what you did.
Cool.
And so,
and it worked out and it was positive outcome.
That's right.
I love it. That's great. It's not like a, hey, everything's screwed, screw you. It's everything worked out because of the wonderful things you did. So that's good.
Yes.
Because again, optimism.
That's right. That's what it is. We have a chance. We have a chance to make that future for
the window's
people.
Closing.
The window's closing.
Freaking closing, people.
But we have the chance.
I had a conversation yesterday over text message with a very, very dear friend, my ex-girlfriend, Jane. She's got a 4-year-old daughter, and she and I were, it's funny, I was like, how you doing? She's like, God bless her, you know, because she's just hard on the sleeve, earnest, amazing human being. So her answer to my question, how are you doing, is, well, I'm freaked out about climate change.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that was her answer.
Yeah.
And she's freaked out about climate change because she's also been keeping up on this stuff, and she read the same report that you read. And she's like, I've got a 4-year-old daughter, and like, when my daughter is 54, is she going to be one of the 10% who has made it? Or is she going to be one of the 90% who has died a grisly death? Right? That's real, like thinking about things in those terms. You know
Seriously.
What I mean? It's got to be more stark when you're a parent.
It's got to be. Yeah, absolutely.
It should be, people. If you're a parent and you're not freaked out about climate change, get your act together.
Yeah, right. And again, like a lot of, I think that the naysayers about we can't do anything about this, you know, like there will, it would just be too hard. It would, you know, upturn our economy too greatly. Like when I read the resolution for the Green New Deal that was put out a couple months ago, it was so inspiring. By the way, if you haven't read the Green New Deal resolution, you should really read it.
Yeah, like it's 2 pages long. Well, you can do it.
It's a little more than 2 pages, but it's really quite short. But it's just an outline of a framework for here's some stuff that we could do to legitimately address climate change while also helping people who are on the front lines of what that transition would look like to make that transition in a just and equitable way. Like people who, you know, who work in the energy sector now. Yeah, of course they have a vested interest in not wanting to lose their jobs. But the Green New Deal, the resolution outlines a path for helping those people transition to new jobs that actually support the green economy.
Seriously, the new energy sources are going to need a bunch of workers too.
And it's
actually, not like they go away.
Right. It's actually like transitioning to this kind of a new economy is actually an opportunity to reinvigorate our economy.
Sure.
Like it could be a win-win situation. For everyone involved. We just have to get the corporate interests who are holding us back out of the way. That's really the thing that's holding us back.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, think about it. Like, do you want to be like half a mile underground inhaling coal particles and getting black lung? Or do you want to be out in a field installing solar panels?
Right. Or whatever,
you know what I mean?
It might be. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all to say. There's a possibility that we can really address this thing. Now's the time to act. And here's a song to help you get motivated to act.
Yeah, right on.
Should we play it?
Yep.
Okay, here
Ladies
we go.
And gentlemen, Letter from the Future.
I walked outside today, looked toward the sky at midday, and it was blue. I opened up the tap, crystal water pooled in my head, and it was cool.
Because of you, people
every tear and drop of blood you shed to make the way.
Love that. You know, one of my favorite parts about this is I love those harmonized, like, Greek chorus backing vocals that are on the left and the right and the left.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so good. This song was hard. This song was difficult for us. It had a difficult birth. It was the last song that Shannon wrote for this record. Mm-hmm. And when it came to me, it was quickly, like, Shannon made an amazing song, but, like, the music that she put behind it was just kind of a... It was difficult for me to penetrate. Like, it was kind of a hodgepodge. The direction was unclear. And it was just, like, its birth was really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to figure out what it actually wanted to be. It turns out it wanted to be, like, this total ass-kicker of a song, you know? Super anthemic, big. But it's almost more rewarding to listen to it now because it was more difficult to make.
Totally.
Sometimes songs are super easy to make and you almost don't notice the process and then they're just there and it's like, oh yeah, it's great. But like you didn't have anything invested in it, so it doesn't mean as much, you know,
even if
it's really great.
It.
The ones you have to fight for sometimes are more rewarding.
Yeah.
And this is for sure like a hard, hard, hard fight.
Yeah. This one gets me. Like, I kind of get a little bit misty.
Yeah. Man, from an arrangement perspective, the thing I love about this song, two things. One, it's just a little bit slammed. Like, it pumps. It hits the edges sonically of its container a lot. Like, you can hear that, the urgency sonically behind it, which is great because I think it matches the urgency of the message. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, like, in that last walk up, that last big part toward the end before it quiets down, that massive, just buzzy, dry analog synthesizer directly at the center of the frickin' mix. It's so cool. I love it.
It serves the song. It's really great.
Yeah, cool.
Song two?
Song two.
Okay.
She Will Dance. You want to set this one up too?
Oh, sure.
Great.
Not nearly as much to say about this one.
No. But it's good. It's a female empowerment song.
Totally.
And just like people in general.
People in general, yes. But it is centered on a character. This is a different kind of song. I don't think I've ever written a song quite like this before. But it is about a character. And this character happens to be a music box dancer.
Yeah.
Like
a little wind-up dancing doll.
Wind-up dancing doll.
You know, like typical song narrator. You know, your listeners are probably like, oh, yeah, that again.
Yeah.
Oh, another wind-up dancer doll talking song.
Yeah. But it serves as a metaphor for, you know, a lot of us, I think, find ourselves in places in our lives where we are going through the motions of our lives and checking off the things that we think that we are supposed to do, that people need for us to do, that people expect for us to do. And some of us get to a place in the midst of all that where we realize that that might not be satisfying to us, or that maybe there's more to be explored. And it's a great act of courage and of optimism that there is more, you know, beyond that life on a shelf doing the predictable move, you know, in stepping off and doing something. So this song is about a wind up to music box dancer who steps right off the shelf, dances off the shelf,
and
comes to life. Yeah. So it's weird.
Yeah.
But also great.
Yeah. It's like Chucky, but if Chucky were like less stabby and more of a ballerina dancer.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So this is something I haven't spoken about or written about anywhere about the origin of the song. Have I told you about it?
Well, I won't know until you say it.
Oh, it's true. I actually, like, as I often do, like, start my songs with a note that I've taken to mm-hmm. my phone. And this was a note that I took 2 tours ago. So 2017. Mm-hmm. I had an interaction with someone who was like an old friend online. She was a real friend in real life, but somebody who I had an interaction with online who didn't have nice things to say to me. It was a rough moment.
I remember this.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah. And you know, some of what she had to say. So 2017, we put out a record that year that was The Space Between, which was exploring a lot of the things that were dividing us as a country. Mm-hmm. It was really the first time that I feel like as an artist, I had said in my music some things that were potentially challenging, more challenging for listeners.
I think that's true, yeah.
You know, and it felt like something that I needed to do that year. I felt like, you know, to just write songs that were, you know, good for entertainment wasn't going to cut it for me as an artist that year.
No.
You know?
It was really stark in 2017. Like, artists who were trying to just do entertainment were, like, irrelevant.
Yeah. And so I was trying to be real honest with the stuff that I had been exploring in my own mind about what on earth, what was going on in our nation, you know, and exploring those issues. And it was risky for me to do that, right? Like, it was a big risk to do that because, like the dancer on the shelf, you know, like people expect you to kind of do the same sort of moves, and to do something different than that is oftentimes, well, it's a risk. Some people will be like, yes, I'm so glad you did that. And some people will be like, you're offending me right now, or you're making me uncomfortable,
sure,
or, you know, whatever it might be. And this person who had been a longtime friend was clearly in the category of someone who was not comfortable with the music that I was making, the art that I was creating.
The ideas that you were putting out in the world, I mean, really at the core of it.
Yeah. And she was also a person who decided that she was going to take it upon herself to tell me how she felt about that.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other conversation because, like, you know, I ended up having to sort of assert some pretty stark boundaries in that relationship and be like, I can't have this conversation with you. It's not productive for me. Like, yeah. I'm willing to listen to somebody who's willing to have like a real conversation, but she was being just mean.
Yeah.
She was just being mean.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep that night because it was a long friendship, a long time friendship that just, it really upset me.
Yeah.
It really upset me that she would.
It was a betrayal.
It was, yeah, that she would approach me in that way. And with that level of callousness and
also entitlement.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is sort of what you get at with the song a bit.
Right. So I couldn't sleep that night. I mm-hmm. It really tore me up, actually, for a couple nights in a row. But one of those sleepless nights, I sort of jotted down the beginnings of what became the lyrics to this song.
Oh, cool.
So this comes from a really personal place. This is not just me, like, you know, imagining this kind of scenario. This happened.
Yep. This happened.
Yeah.
Shannon was actually that music box ballerina.
I am the female Pinocchio. I've come to life.
I love it.
It's a girl. Yeah.
nice Pinocchio reference.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Shall we play the song?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, everyone. This is She Will Dance. Somebody else turns the key.
herself to please, she will dare.
Nice fade out.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good long fade out? So good. Love it. All right, people. So, hey, what did you think? Message us. Let us know. We're so excited to share this record with you.
We are.
So we've shared a lot of it at this point. A lot of it exclusively for our Misfit Star supporting members, because that's some of the sort of extra little bonus stuff that we like to do for the people who support what we do. So, yeah. Hey, if you are one of our Misfit Star supporting members, thank you so much. We hope that this sort of album reveal journey that we've been on for the last number of weeks has been fun for you. It has for us. If you are not a Misfit Star supporting member and you think that this sort of thing is worth supporting in the world, just head on over to MisfitStars.com, click on that second big pink button that says Unlock All Episodes. It'll whisk you away to the subscription page. It's $5. Oh, that's a good whisking sound.
Thank you.
Good job, baby. Yeah. So you'll be whisked away to the portal, giggle, giggle, where you can sign up. It's $5 a month, and we would appreciate that if you would like to throw your lot in with us in that way.
Awesome.
Thank you. And in the same breath, I want to say that if it's not a possibility for you to do that in this time, then that's also totally cool. Please just keep listening along. We value your ears, and we appreciate your time so much, and the fact that you listen to what we have to say. It's a big deal.
Seriously, if you are still hearing the sounds of our voices right now, and you've listened to this entire episode, like, it means a lot to us.
Yeah.
That you've given us some of your attention and some of your time.
40 minutes and
today.
Counting of your time today. So cool. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And we'll be back again next week with our first From the Road episode.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I have to edit on the laptop, like in the car. Ah. Wild. Wild behavior.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, you all. Have yourselves a great week. Kate, take good care of yourselves.
And we'll start talking to you from the road and sharing tour adventures with you starting next week. Very cool.
Awesome. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.